Make people dream. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 219. And today we're starting a new series, a five-part series, based on an article I read online called Five Lesser-Known Public Speaking Rules Every Young Professional Needs to Know. Well, I'd say these are good tips for anybody, young professional or not, and I will link to the original article in the show notes. Let me quote from the article. Existing literature on the art of public speaking is extensive, ranging from preparation and confidence to body language and tonality. The list of golden rules is abundant, but mechanical. The following five rules are lesser-known approaches to public speaking and will insert, get this, dynamism, nuance, and distinction to your communication toolbox. Okay, Ali Shabazz is the author. Well, I'm not sure about all of that, but what I do know is that these fit with a lot of biblical principles. So let's go through them. We'll start with number one today, and that is about dreaming and vision. Make people dream, he says. Let me quote. A fine speaker must induce a sense of community that is connected by common goals. Okay, a sense of community connected by common goals. What could be more Christian than that? When you look at the Book of Acts and the New Testament and the epistles, a sense of community. Jesus came to bring us that, connected by common goals. And so when we preach and teach as people who bring the word of God to people, we're reminding people of what our community values are. We're reminding and we are helping people to dream bigger about those community values, the scriptural, biblical values that we share in common and what difference that can make in the world. So on one level, any preacher or teacher, whatever we've got a small group, a large group, we are dreamers. We are perhaps better to say, not only are we dreamers, but we are those who inspire others to dream on some level or other. And you don't have to be a person of expert rhetorical ability to do that. Let's think about this for a moment as we think about vision. So what is vision and where does it come from? I read a very interesting book about vision by Andy Stanley a little while ago called Visioneering. And he says this about vision. Visions form in the hearts of those who are dissatisfied with the status quo. Let me give you that again. Visions form in the hearts of those who are dissatisfied with the status quo. And so what we're talking about here is the fact that all vision is rooted in the sense that things could be better. Dissatisfaction doesn't have to be that the situation is disastrous or terrible, but simply that it could be even more glorious than it is now. And it could be that we're in trouble and we need to get back to something good, but it could be things are good, but they could be wonderful. A good example of vision, indeed the book focuses on Nehemiah, is in Nehemiah. Let me give you a quote from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, which gives us a really helpful example of what vision means. He says this, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work." We see here six steps that are all part of this vision. The first part is Nehemiah is very clear about what the problem is. We're in trouble, Jerusalem's in ruins, gates burned with fire. He doesn't sugarcoat it. It is a bad situation. So he's honest. And I think that's part of creating a genuine vision is being honest. Secondly, he gives a vision. let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. We will no longer be in disgrace. Something practical to do, a positive end to his vision here. Thirdly, there's a God focus here. It's not just about the vision. It's not about his idea. It is about God. I told them about the gracious hand of my God on me. God had already been with him. And so he lets them know about that. Then there's a call to action. They replied, let's start rebuilding. Well, actually, they say that, not even him. He's already inspired them to take their own call to action to themselves. And then there is action. They began the good work. You could actually use these six steps as a checklist for your next lesson. Outline the problem, give the vision, make sure there's a God focus. Where is the evidence of God's grace already at work? A call to action, maybe even some action that comes soon after that. So what do you think about this topic of vision, about giving vision, giving people a dream, or at least reminding them of a great dream? It seems to me that's what Jesus, in some ways, came to do. He came to give us a bigger dream of what our lives could be about and what a relationship with God is really like. Fundamentally, a dream or a vision must originate in your own heart. If I'm speaking, it must be in my heart. It can't just be that I'm speaking about a good idea. It has to be something in me. And in that sense, I'd say that all inspiring preaching or teaching comes from a place of dissatisfaction, a healthy dissatisfaction, not a frustration with people. That never goes down well. But a sense that things could be better than they are. What can God do in our situation? What could he do? That's really the point. So the question I'd leave us with today is this. What is your highest, brightest spiritual dream right now? What is your highest, brightest spiritual dream that you have right now? Could you speak on that and give people a vision? How could you incorporate more vision, more a sense of dreaming in your future lessons? I'd love to know what you think. So drop me a line with your thoughts, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can leave a comment wherever you hear or see this recording. If you know anybody that might benefit, please pass it on. If you haven't already done so, subscribe. Why not? Thank you to all of you who have. A lot more people have been subscribing recently. It's been gratifying to see that. So I'm glad that what I'm putting out here is helpful. Let me know how this might help. Next week, we will go on to look at surprise, not shock. Until then, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.